Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening to our Blog Talk Radio listeners. Thank you for joining Granny's Place tonight with my sister, my friend. We're so happy that you could join us tonight, and we ask that you give us a call with any questions or concerns at 310-982-4126, 310-982-4126. We want to let you know that we are a show that is dedicated to helping our sisters with all type of problems, concerns, questions. Tonight, we are going to talk to a great woman of God. Her name is Wanda Randall. She is a great woman of God. I had the opportunity to join in with her for a woman's revival, I think a couple of months ago. She also sponsors a girl talk on the fourth Saturday of each month. Ms. Randall, would you go ahead and say hello to our listening audience and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Good afternoon, everyone. It's a pleasure and a blessing to be with you this afternoon. And I definitely thank God for my friend extending the invite. As she briefly stated, my name is Wanda Randall, and I am a member of the Greater Lighthouse Church located in Ferris, Texas, where my pastor is the elder Derek Willis, where we reside there. About 10 years ago, I started working in the youth ministry. About 36 months ago, I actually went through a lot of life-changing events. And after coming out of the situation that I was in, God began to speak to my heart concerning the women of God and let me know that there was a need concerning the women, not just from a spiritual perspective, but also from a mental, natural, physical, and financial wellness. So I oversee the GLOW, which is the Greater Lighthouse Omnipotent Women, which is a mission ministry that is a part of my church, my local church. And the focus for this ministry is we actually reach out to the community to help coach women to spiritual, natural, mental, physical, and financial wealth. And teaching women how to get past companionship and focus on a relationship with God and then their natural relationships as well. And this has been a burden on my heart, something that God inspired me to do after being in church my entire life. When I began to go through certain things in my personal life, I felt a little bit shunned. I shunned from the church and not open to talk about the things that I was facing in my personal life. Almost a little bit embarrassed because sometimes the things that we go through in life, we never think that we'll go through them. And sometimes just your regular church services don't prepare us for the things that we face as women in general. So God laid a burden on my heart for the women. And that's a part of our ministry where we focus on discussing topics that we don't get an opportunity to discuss in church and form a sisterhood so we're there for each other, to comfort each other, provide guidance, biblical guidance in every aspect of our life, to coach the woman to being a whole woman. And our motto for this movement is No Woman Left Behind. And that is our focus, that we reach out to all women so that all women are well in every aspect of their life. And that basically tells a little bit about me and the ministry that I'm working with now and just the calling that God has on my life concerning the body of the women.
I am glad you shared that information with us. We are so glad to have you tonight. We thank you for taking your time out to share with us your vision and your dream for the women that we all are sisters in Christ that we are trying to help each other. So I think it is a blessing that you have joined us tonight. I'm going to go ahead and open up our lines tonight at 310-982-4126. And LaShawn, if you would like, would you go ahead and post your question, please?
Okay. My first question is to Ms. Randall. Ms. Randall, hi. I'm LaShawn. I was raised up in a Baptist church. Okay. The reason I wanted to have the show was because I wanted to ask a few questions because I myself am seeking faith. I'm trying to understand exactly what it is that I'm supposed to be doing in order to actually become a Christian, because I understand most of the things that I've been taught growing up, But I'm wondering, like, how do you even start to determine which religion to actually believe in without the denominations that are out here?
Well, first of all, I would just, the first part of your question, becoming a Christian. And the Bible tells us that once we confess with our mouth and we believe, then we are saved. However, it goes a step further than that. It's about forming a personal relationship with God. Where you're reading the Word yourself, you're going before God yourself as a woman of God in prayer and seeking God for wisdom. The Bible tells us that if any person needs wisdom, let them ask of God. So for every aspect of my life, my goal was going to God and asking God to lead me and guide me in the areas of my life that I need help and I need clarification where I need guidance. As regarding religion, religion is man-made. Every religion from Baptist, Methodist, Pentecostal, these are religions where at some point someone took the Bible, they studied the Word of God, and they decided to create a church, a name, based on what they felt that the Bible was telling them. So when anyone asks the question, what to be a part of, what religion, I personally do not focus on religion. I focus on the Word of God. So in your search and looking for a church home, what religion to be a part of, I would recommend connecting with people that you feel like demonstrate the characteristics of Christ based on the Bible and what your interpretation of the Bible is. And perhaps visit some of those churches. And when you leave that church, go before God. Get into your Word. See if the teaching of that church lines up with what the Word of God says. So any church that's teaching from the Bible and the Word of God lines up with what they're teaching from the Bible, I don't think it matters what religion it is, as long as that it's biblical teaching and they're not going anything against what God's Word is. That can be Baptist, that can be Methodist, that can be Pentecostal. Well, you feel that there's no being said?
I pretty much, like, I go to different, I can say that I study with different people. That's what I'm going to say. I study with different people. And I've came to a conclusion, like, I know that everybody, when you read the Bible, you have your own understanding of it. And I know that when you go before, when you actually sit down, you pray about it, and you try to find out exactly where it is that you need to be and what it is that you need to be doing. It's kind of hard out here, given the fact that everyone is telling you to go against each other and everybody say that they're Christians. So with me trying to come in to the Word and to the truth and trying to learn more about what I need to be actually doing, it's kind of hard actually doing that with the Christians that I see before myself, like, going against each other. You get what I'm saying?
I understand you. Definitely understand you. In my first walk with Christ, when I first accepted Christ, because I had been around Christians or people that said they were Christians my whole life, I felt unworthy. I felt that I wasn't good enough, because if I looked at everyone around me, everyone had their view about what it meant to be a Christian. Some people felt that this was wrong. Some people felt it was right. Some people felt that pants were wrong. Some said it was okay. Some talked against makeup, said it was okay. So I was very confused in my late teens, my early 20s, about the walk of Christ. After just being just totally turned off about the church, there was an extra point in my life where I stopped going to church altogether, because I was so confused, and I didn't feel like I fit anywhere. And then God spoke to me one day, and He said, begin to speak the Word on your own. Don't ask anybody their opinion, their choice about it. Just begin to pray and seek me regarding your walk with me. And so I started a personal relationship with God where I just, because I was in the habit of asking people what they saw and connecting with different people, and it only made me more confused. But when I started seeking God for myself, I formed a personal relationship with Him, and He began to teach me what was right and what was wrong. I didn't tell me at that point. And so at the point now that I'm ending my life, if I get ready to do something, God speaks to me and says, yes, no, maybe so. So my advice would be to seek a deeper personal relationship with God by studying the Word yourself, by scheduling a prayer life, and I guarantee that God will speak to your heart and He will show you what's right and what's wrong and what His purpose is for your life.
Okay. I can do that. I can definitely do that because it's, like, very interesting that I would try to actually, you know how you, when you're young, you actually look to the older people and watch what's going on in the world, and you pick up your Bible, you begin to read it. And that's another thing. It's a lot of different verses of the Bible, and I couldn't, like, really understand that either because, I mean, I understand it. And most of the different practices that I have went to and actually got into it, I've noticed that majority, I'm not going to say all, but majority of them, I pretty much grasped the same thing from the book. But it's like, where did the original Bible come from? What is the original Bible? If you could tell me what the original Bible was.
According to, I mean, the study that's been done, and then this is all just study based on what somebody said throughout history, the same way when you go to school with the history book, that the original Bible was in Hebrew, and the first Bible that was handed to, I'll say us, as United States, as America, was the King James Version. But if you read the scripture, the Bible tells us that all scriptures are of God. The same way as a woman of God, God began to speak to you and give you things. This is what happened to the prophets, the Matthews, the Marks, the Lukes, and the Johns. As God began to speak to them, they began to write the things that God spoke to them to leave with us so that we would have instructions on how to live a Christian life. So the first book that was introduced to us was the King James Version. I have a King James Version, but I also read translated versions. And they basically say the same thing, except they translate it to a more layman's terms. We can understand it a little better. But if you start reading something that you know is, like, totally wrong and it's just totally off base, then I would not continue to read a Bible that says that. Because I have picked up some that have been just pretty out there, and they are nothing according to what the King James Version says. And so if I run across things like that, I don't read them because we can put the wrong thing in us, and it will confuse our spirit.
Yeah, because, see, I've been around, and I've actually had some people that can show me scriptures, okay, because it confuses me when some people can show me scriptures, and it be the same scriptures that another person can show me, and it can mean something totally different. So basically what we are to do is to read it ourselves and to grasp whatever we get from it, and I mean, that doesn't, it makes no, I don't know, it just sometimes it's confusing, it makes no sense sometimes when everybody have a different understanding of everything. It's kind of different. You get what I'm saying?
I follow you 100%. And I think as Christians, one of the key things that we have to do, we can't pick one scripture and run with it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give you an example. Deuteronomy 28. People quote that all the time. Blessed will there be in your storehouse. Everything you touch is going to be blessed. When you come in, when you go out, it's going to be blessed. That's all they read. But they don't take it from the beginning and read from beginning to end to get a clear understanding of what God is saying. So when you begin to study the Bible, we can't just pick a scripture and say, you know, I'm going to be blessed. Because before we get that far, it says if you obey God, you'll be blessed. And then when you read further, it says if you don't obey God, then you will be cursed. So if you're studying the Bible, I always recommend newcomers to start from the beginning of the chapter and read through. And God will speak to your heart concerning what He meant concerning the scripture.
Okay, that was going to be my question. I didn't mean to interrupt, but that was going to be what I was going to ask you. God gives us, each one of us, a different perspective on the scripture according to what we're going through at the time or what He wants us to get out of that, would you say?
I would agree with that statement, and I want to give you an example.
Okay.
We read the scripture 100 times, let not your heart be troubled. Who believes in God, believes also in me. It's normally read at funerals, right?
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Okay? So when we read that, most people think, don't be sad, don't be sorrow. You know, God is, has a better place prepared for us. So about, I'm going to say about 15 years ago, my mother was diagnosed with a heart aneurysm. It was a heart aneurysm that was in a place where the doctors cannot operate on. In her seeking God for comfort, God led her to that same scripture. Let not your heart be troubled. And she began to speak that word and proclaim that word over her life. So for that situation, when she was seeking God, that's what that word from God was to her. And this has been 15, 20 years, and she hasn't had an incident with her heart since she was first diagnosed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're hearing that at a funeral, you never would have thought it meant that. But when she began to speak the word of comfort, that's what he gave her. But either way it was interpreted, neither of them were outside of God's will.
Right. That is correct. Because he gives it to us, each one of us, different for the time and the purpose at that time. LaShawn, were you finished? I wanted to go ahead and ask another question. Are you?
You can ask another question.
Okay. Okay. Well, I was wondering about our past issues, our past lives, the things that we have been through. Speak to that as far as letting us know how not to let those things hinder us or deter us in our growth in Christ, how to actually just keep focused on Christ without allowing our past to control us.
The first thing I want to focus on is just Jesus going to the cross. He went to the cross because he knew that at some point we were going to make mistakes, we were going to go through certain things in life. If we were going to have perfect life and we were never going to sin or never have any issues, it wouldn't have benefited Jesus from going to the cross. He would have no need to go to the cross. But he died, not because he had sinned, but he went to the cross and died for our future sins because he knew that things would come. But the Bible tells us that once we accept Christ and we repent from our sins, that he doesn't remember them anymore. God has forgotten about them, but as women of God, we have a tendency to hold on to our mistakes. And I've been guilty of that at some point in my life. But if we go and we talk about Paul in the scriptures, he says, forgetting those things which are behind us, we press toward a higher calling, which is in Jesus Christ. So we can't let our past dictate our future. We made mistakes in the past. I've made them. Everyone on this earth has made a mistake. The Bible tells us that we were born into sin. And it also tells us that if any man says that he has not sinned, that he is a liar and the truth is not in them. But as human beings, we have a tendency to hold on to, you know, we may have got into a relationship that wasn't a good choice, or we may not have been the ideal child growing up, or we may not have been the best mother for the first 2 years of our life. And then we have women of God who fell into the drug and the alcohol addiction, and it caused them to make some bad choices and do some things that they wouldn't have ever thought they would have done. But that's where grace and mercy comes in. And God said that his grace is sufficient. And that's what we have to count on, that he loved us so much that whatever we did in the past, to God it really doesn't matter. But for some reason, it's hard for us to let go. And I had to learn to separate myself from people who constantly brought up my past. Because if someone really loves you, they're going to not, every time they see you, they're not going to bring up what you did 20 years ago. Or 5 years ago. Or 10 years ago. So we have to, as women of God, surround ourselves with women who really care about us and who really want to see us grow and become the women of God that God's created us to be. I personally believe that every trial, every tribulation, every mistake, every time I was hurt, mistreated, abused, I feel that was in God's plan for my life because the Bible tells us that all things work for good. And because of what I went through, it made me a better mother. I didn't have a friend growing up, a real, real friend. Now that I have friends, I'm a better friend to my friends than the friends that I had in the past. So I did not ordain certain things to make us better people, but God has already forgiven us. It's up to us to accept his forgiveness. And that's where we struggle at as women. And I've been there as well, because the enemy comes in and he tries to make us feel like we're not worthy to be women of God. You're not worthy to have this ministry. You're not worthy to be a wife. You're not worthy to be a mother. And he can constantly brings up our past. But I just keep remembering that the word of God says that once we say, Father, I'm sorry, forgive me, he throws into a sea and he doesn't remember it anymore. God has actually forgotten it. So now it's up for us to accept his forgiveness and to move on. The same way we do with people. If you offend me, Sister Lewis, and I say, I forgive you, Sister Lewis, I forgot about it. We're easy to accept that from people than we are from God. You don't know if I really mean it. But God can't lie. He can't lie. Even if he wanted to, he couldn't. So we know everything that he says is true. So if he tells us, I forgave you, I'm done with it, I'm over with it, we have to seek God and say, God, help me to forgive myself. And I do that by staying in the scripture. And I have made it a note for myself. I journal. I went to the dollar store and I got a journal. I don't write about my past. I write about my future.
And what you think that God has for you, and how you want him to continue to indwell in you and carry you forward and not backwards. Because he does know the plans he has for you.
That is so true. He knew when I was in my mom's womb what I would go through and what I would be. So when I journal, I mean, if someone say, you know, you're this, in my journal I'm saying I'm all that in a bag of chips. I am a woman of God. I am free. I am worthy. I am beautiful in the sight of God. I'm a wonderful mother. I'll make someone a wonderful wife. Those are the things that I journal about. And because there's power in our words, and we begin to speak those things over our life, you know what? You speak it long enough, you're going to start believing it.
Yes. Yes. I am there with you with that, because I believe that. I don't like negativism. I don't want anybody to speak anything negative into me, because I know I'm God's child and he loves me just that much that I can be anything that he desires for me to be. That's what he has for my purpose in life. So you can't speak negative to me, and I won't allow that. Nothing.
And I believe the scriptures, for the listeners, I want to say it's Isaiah 43 and 25 is where God said he's blotted out thy transgression and he will not remember thy sins. I mean, and so once we confess our sins, God has forgotten about it. And the women of God, we have to circle, we have to connect with people who are positive, who pour into us, and who's not always taken out of us. We have to be around people of like-minded people.
Yes, true. That is so true. Well, I noticed that our president has joined us tonight, Miss Beverly. Beverly, would you like to say hello to our guest?
Oh, good evening, good evening.
Good evening, Beverly.
I have enjoyed you. Woof, woof, woof. Girl, we have a Sunday school here. Enjoyed this. You can just keep on talking, sweetheart. I've enjoyed this. You've answered a lot of questions that I know I've had over the years. You know, I've been in church a number of years, but there's still, I was like LaShawn, how do you know if you're doing it right? Who says what? And you do get different interpretations. I went to a Church of God in Christ where you couldn't wear pants, or you shouldn't wear this, you shouldn't wear that. Then I see my friends at Baptist churches, they're wearing pants, and you know, I just get so offended when I see women in pants in church. I just can't get used to that. I just think it's an offense to God for women to wear pants in church, but that's them. But unlike LaShawn, you go to the Baptist church, you go to Pentecostal, you go to Catholic churches. When I was a kid, I used to like to go to Catholic churches. And they were all just so different, and everybody teaches you different things. And like LaShawn said, you have to, somebody has to tell you what to read. And what I got my connection with God was in the book of John, and where he said, I came down for you. And when that night I read that, I realized that God was real, that I didn't have to listen to anybody else to know that he was real, because he spoke to me personally. And so to LaShawn, sweetheart, just do as this young lady is telling you. Just start reading the Bible. And God will talk to you for himself. and he will confirm to you with maybe two or three other people what he said to you, so you'll know that it's him. Sometimes you can ask him. But God is so real. He's so wonderful. And he loves you so much. And this young lady, I just, you know, like for you to come on as many times as Lashondra can bring you on here. Because I think you're teaching us so many things that you could be a real help in this ministry, helping our young women to feel good about themselves and feel like they're worthy, they're worth something, and not keep destroying their bodies and their minds and just wanting to have pleasure all the time. Yeah, we all want to have feel good, but you just can't make that your life, having pleasure and making fast money. It's not good. But when you work for something and you use the skills and the talents and abilities that God has given us, he's given all of us so many, many gifts that it was just, I would listen to these shows where these people have run these scams, and I'm like, look how smart this person was that he used his brain to do that. Why didn't he just go out and create a real company and do what he did? They'd rather steal. So the more I think you use your talents to teach us and help us understand this Bible, I think it'll be a real blessing to my sister, my friend. You go on and teach me some more. I'm just having a wonderful time listening to you.
Amen. Oh, God bless you. Amen. I see that we have another caller on the line. LaShawn, you did have another question before I ask the audience, our listeners, if they have anything, any questions for Ms. Randall?
My question was, do you feel like it's very, very important to actually go door-to-door and, like, actually spread the word about our higher power. I'm sorry.
Okay. First, I would like to say the Bible tells us that we are many members for one body, and there are several spiritual gifts for Sean. And that's not everyone's gift. If that is your gift, if that's the ministry that God has given you, then there's absolutely nothing wrong with that if that is what God is selecting you to do. Everyone has a different ministry. For me, I don't normally minister to a lot of people that have been in church for a long, long time. I reach out to people. It's amazing, like yourself, that are new converts, and they need the encouragement to seek God and form a relationship with God. So my ministry is outside the church. We don't just meet at the church. We may meet at restaurants and different things like that. That's what God has chosen me to do. That's what he's called me to do. So for those who God has called to go out on the streets and witness and share the goodness of God, I don't see anything wrong with that. But I think everyone that goes out, they must be equipped, because the Bible tells us to study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not be ashamed, rightly divided in the word of truth. So for those who choose to go out on the street ministries, it's very important that they're equipped to go out, so they're benefiting the kingdom of God and not hindering the kingdom of God. So that's my view on that.
Women in faith so much.
Is there anyone else who has a question tonight? We are getting some background noise. Can we ask Ms. Randall what is on our mind tonight? Or callers, call us at 310-982-4126, 310-982-4126. Is there anyone that has another question before I ask one? Hello? Okay. Well, Ms. Randall, my next question would be for you. What would you have our ladies to, our listeners to do about just staying on the right track with, besides getting with another believer, or how would you tell them or encourage them to keep their focus beside reading the Bible and getting with somebody else that is a believer or whatever, just in the natural realm for their everyday living?
I would say the key thing I would say is totally committing to God. We have to totally commit ourselves. to him is a key thing. There are days that I don't get a chance to study my word the way that I want to, but I have a relationship with God, which means we're connected. Going to church is not all of it. It's totally selling out to God and say, okay, God, here's my heart, here's my life. I'm giving it to you, and I'm going to trust you with it. The thing that helps me is I have to understand why the enemy doesn't want us to focus. And I think when we realize why he doesn't want us to focus, it helps us focus a little bit more. I'm not sure if anyone has heard of the term psychokinesis. It's the people where they say you have the ability to move things with your mind, but you have to really, really focus. And when we're focused on God and we totally sell out to God, it moves God. And that's why the enemy doesn't want us to focus. That's why he comes with distractions, whether it be your job, your family life, for the women that are single, that man that God told you to let go, he'll be texting you through the middle of the night. It seems like just when you got him out of your system, he'll show back up as a distraction because he doesn't want you to get focused. But once we get 100% focused on God, God gives us the power to move him. And I want to explain that. That means that we will be able to speak things into our life. We get the power, and we can speak things into our life because we're now focused. And with focus comes power. And the devil doesn't want women of God to have that power to ever change their lives around, to say, God, I'm believing you for my healing. God, I'm believing you for my finances. God, I'm believing you for my children. For those who are married, who have marriage problems, God, I'm believing you for fixing my marriage. And for those women who are seeking husbands or want to be married, God, I'm trusting and believing you for my spouse, my godly spouse. Because once we focus, we have the power to move those things. We have the power to make those things happen. So for me, I focus on staying focused because I know if I lose focus, I don't have the power, and the devil can come in and do anything if I'm not covered. So for me personally, my focus is my covering. The second thing I would recommend, everybody needs an accountability partner. Everyone needs somebody to hold you accountable because we are women. We go through natural things, and the enemy does get busy. You don't need someone always agreeing with you. You don't need anyone saying that you're right all the time. But you need someone in your life that would tell you the truth, to hold you accountable when you start slipping, when you start messing up, when you start losing focus, when you start sliding back into those things that God delivered you from. You need someone that loves you, that will hold you accountable. Doesn't have to be a church member. It doesn't have to be a family member. But just I pray and ask for God to put people in my life that will hold me accountable. And I have two accountability partners. So when I'm having a rough day, I'm having a bad day, when the enemy tries to attack me and tries to make me give up, when things come to my mind that I know that are not like God, when I can't get a prayer through, there are two people in my life that I can reach out to and say, okay, I know this ain't right, but this is how they made me really feel at work today, and I really want to tell them something. Somebody to spiritually check me and keep me focused. I think that's very important.
Amen, because, it's hard to do it by yourself on a day-to-day basis. Because sometimes you just want to let it all go. Look at her, let me tell you about this.
Amen.
And
the Holy Spirit keeps you from doing it.
Yeah, it does. It really does. And one of my pastor's father has said one day, it just really dawned on me that this was a true statement. When you get ready to tell somebody, give them a piece of your mind, maybe you may need to keep that because you might need that later on. And I just thought that was just the truest statement I ever heard in my life.
That's true.
That's true, because if you're going to give somebody a piece of your mind, and then what if you do need it later? I mean, you done gave them that, and then you done messed up your anointings, you done messed up your witness, and you don't have peace of mind, per se, after you do that. Because you done embarrassed God, you done grieved the Holy Spirit, so why would you do it? Just hold on to it, That's what I have to leave with you the ladies today. But I see we have another one of my good people on the phone tonight. Miss Janice, would you like to have a comment or question, or Miss Wanda?
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Are you there? Hello.
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm sorry I'm late. I had some issues, of course. Satan always trying to put stuff in your way. But, yeah, I was listening to you guys' discussion. Hold on 1 second. So I unlocked the door and my mom is yelling, so excuse me. Hold on. And I was listening to the conversation, and I think those are some the best things to have is find yourself in God's word whenever you can. That is my biggest thing for me, is to find myself in God's word, because in his word I find how I am to respond to people, how I am to be humble, how my heart is to be, even when someone says something to me that I feel is uncalled for and or not fair or things of that matter. I remember what Jesus did and how he suffered through for me. And he committed no sin. He did nothing wrong. He didn't have even a wrong thought. And here I am, you know, thinking no one has the right to say certain things to me. And I'm like, they abused him for no reason at all. And he died with no sin for my sin. So I have to humble myself. And that's what I find myself a lot. It doesn't mean that I don't get upset when people say certain things to me or that I don't have a bad day. But I try to keep it in perspective. And I do have accountability partners. I do have people saying, you know, to look at yourself and you know, pray about it and tell me when I'm wrong and when I'm right. And even when I don't want to hear it, I listen and I accept that because that person knows me. They know my personality. And God brought them into my life for that reason. I don't have anybody that totally agrees with me 100% of the time. I have people who tell me the truth.
Amen.
And amen. That strengthens me. Because it lets me see where I need to work, what areas I need to work on, and how I am to present myself. Because the thing is we're trying to grow in God's word every day. And in order to do those things, we have to know his word. And you can't know his word if you don't study his word and apply his word. There's no, you know, there's nothing there. If you're just reading it, putting it down, and going, you have to apply it to your life and do the best that you can. And where we can't meet, the Holy Spirit is there to help, you know. And I think that was, for me, that was the filler for me and with my salvation, to know that when he rose the third day and went to heaven, he left some for me. You know, he left something for me to call on. The Holy Spirit is there for me to say, you know what, I can't do this one. I really can't do any of them, but I really can't do this one. And it's just so good that, you know, you have people around that can be honest with you, and you tell them your heart, and they are not judging you. Because I think that's the biggest thing that we as women run into, is people judging us, and then we are trying to meet a criteria that's not even what it's supposed to be about, because it's not about us. It's all about Christ. And I don't want to tarnish my witness with anybody. I can't talk about you in your face today and then tell you I love you, or I don't like you, but I love you. And no, you don't. You just don't like me. You don't love me. Just say you don't love me and just go on about your business, you know. But, I mean, you have to develop a love for people. And, you know, it started out being a tolerance. Then it eased into, well, you know, I understand. And then it eased into, you got to love people because somebody is loving you in spite of, because you ain't there yet. So that's how I keep my focus, because I know I'm not there yet, and I won't be there until the coming of Jesus Christ. So I got to stay focused.
All right. Well, Wanda, I'm going to tell you I have a problem with that, like and love, okay? So I would like for you to speak on that issue because I'm one of I'm gonna tell you this personally for me. I feel like I don't have to like you, but I do have to love you. And a statement was made about that in a Bible study that we had, and the statement was that you have to like the person because like dislike leads to hate, and hate leads to murder or killing or something, they said. And I didn't agree with that. Can you kind of give me your insight on that? What do you have to say about that?
I agree with the statement you just made. In the Bible, Jesus rebuked Peter because Peter has an ugly way. And if a person has ways that are not like Christ or just ugly ways, because we have people in the church and in our workplace with ugly ways, you don't have to like their ways. But when he rebuked Peter, he said, Peter, it's not you, but it's the spirit that's within you. So I don't dislike the person. I don't dislike the person, but I can dislike their spirit. I have zero tolerance for negative people, and I have zero tolerance for people who always stir the pot in gossip. Those are things I don't like. But if anyone has that spirit, I will tell a person that, no, it's not you, but I don't like that spirit within you because it is a spirit. And if that spirit is cast out, then there may be someone that I may be able to like. And also, we read Romans, I think it's Romans 16 and 17, and it says, I urge you, brothers and sisters, to watch for those who cause the division and put obstacles in your way and avoid them.
Right.
So the Bible tells us to mark people and avoid them who are always stirring up the devil or stirring up chaos. Now, if you just don't like people like teenagers do, well, I don't like her. Well, why you don't like her? Well, I don't really have a reason. No, that's not godly.
Right.
No,
see, maybe that's my problem. I just don't get it sometimes because my biggest problem is watching Christians and hypocrisy. I mean, I sometimes listen to people and I try to believe what they're saying, but when I hear them talk sometimes, I just don't believe what they're saying. But that's just like she was saying a while ago, that's me being judgmental, and I probably really don't know what they're saying or you know, if what they're saying, if they really believe in what they're saying, and that goes with some people's truths and some people's understandings about different things, and my understanding be totally different. And so, like, when I listen to Christian women, I actually sit back and I watch Christian women because, I mean, I know I'm not there. I'm trying to study and everything like that, and I'm trying. They say you watch what another person is doing and you mimic them. You try to be more Christ. You try to be more Christ-like. And if they say that they're Christians, and I sit back as a woman trying to find my faith, and I'm watching them and I'm listening to them and watching them do what they do, it's kind of hard. You know what I'm saying? But I know that nobody's perfect and everybody is trying to actually get there. But I'm saying it's kind of hard once you around Christian folks that's not Christians for real. So I can't say if they're Christians or not because they really believe that they're Christians, and it really sometimes it turns me away. You kind of get what I'm saying? Can y'all help me with that?
Can I speak to that?
I've been in several situations like what you just said. And what I had to do, because I was praying to God, I'm like, Lord, you know, this, that, and the other, you know, about what I thought, how they should be, how should they carry themselves. A lot of the things that we think should be as a Christian, a lot of that stuff is tradition. Because, you know, you've lived around tradition. Some of the things is what you expect in your mind, and you can't put somebody else into what you expect. You can't put somebody else into what your tradition is. What I found was best for me is I didn't pull myself away from the church. I learned the Lord for myself, and I told the Lord to work on me, to make me the person he wants me to be. I'm not trying to be Sister So-and-so. I'm not even trying to watch Sister So-and-so, because Sister So-and-so is at work too. You know, she's not finished either. God is still working and doing things in her. And then I don't know what's going on in her life that will make her act or say certain things, or I don't know what her growth plan is or what her issues was in her life before Christ. all I know is that we are all together trying to make it. And so that's where praying one for another comes in. That's where when I see my sister down or slipping or falling, I can pray for her when I can't go to her. Because I don't want to stand in judgment of nobody, because I don't want nobody to stand in judgment of me. Because I can't say 100% of the time that I'm always right. I can say that 100% of the time I'm a Christian, because I'm trying my best to walk this walk, to do this race, to be an example, to, you know, to be that woman that the Lord has for me to be.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I pray for people all the time, and I pray for myself. I don't want to, if I see something that seems to me is not a Christian thing, that's my point of view. I don't know where that person got delivered from. So I'm praying about it, and I'm seeking God on that matter, not, Lord, change her because she ain't right, but, Lord, if there's any of us that is not of you, remove that. And then remove any stipulations I have in my mind of what somebody else is supposed to be.
Okay, hold on real quick. So I can get it clear, so you can explain it to me better too. Okay, I go somewhere, right? And if I'm trying to be, if I'm trying to be more Christ-like, and I'm around those who are more advanced in this, then you know that I'm trying to, you know how you try to hang around. Like if I'm in the hood, I'm hanging with hood folks. When I'm trying to seek God, I'm trying to find out about Jesus Christ. I'm trying to learn about my Heavenly Father. That's what I'm trying to do. So I'm with different people. I'm trying to live the right way. Whatever the right way is for me that I'm trying to read in the Bible to get to. That's what I'm trying to do. And so it's like if I'm around people who are godly, and I'm trying to be more Christ-like. If that person steps outside of, like, if you're raised inside
person,
of a place and then you constantly, going
that
to a place and you think
that your spirit, then you don't go around that person. If that's something, okay, let's just say for me, I don't drink. There are Christians who think it's okay to drink. They're fine. That's between them and God. I don't drink. I can sit around them when they drink. I don't, because in the end, God is going to judge that. If it's something that quenches my spirit, if I'm around somebody that does something that makes me uncomfortable, then I'm not going to be around that person. If that person comes to me and say, well, we was going to da-da-da, I will explain it to, well, this and this happened, and it just made me a little uncomfortable. And so instead of me trying to tell you what to do, I have to do what's best for my spirit in Christ, because that's where I'm growing. I'm not going to continue to go around somebody who I feel is not living a Christian lifestyle. I'll go back. I've done it where I reside right now. Certain people are good for a certain time. This their season. When I was just getting in Christ, I was just like you. I was trying to be around people who were Christ-like or who confessed to be Christ-like, whatever their situation is. And as I grew in Christ, then I learned to, well, this person is cool. That first, I mean, everybody's good, but I have to go where my spirit is good, where my spirit is growing in the Word. I started going to Bible study. I don't have a hangout, people. I go to Bible study, and what might touch me may not touch the person who I talk to all the time, but that touched me. So that's where I start learning. That's what I start yielding. That's what, I mean, you have to do, it really is a personal relationship. It's not you and the person who you're trying to mimic. It's you. Because when you stand in front of the mighty Father, it's you.
Okay, Janice, can we let Wanda speak on that, please? If we're winding down time, we have like 10 minutes. So, Wanda, would you speak on that issue for us, please?
I go back to what I stated previously. I think it's very important. I know that it's very important that we seek and study the Word of God on our own and let God touch our heart on the things that convict us. Sister LaShawn, most women do that. When we first get saved, when we first accept Christ, I don't know why, but we always look to someone to be that role model for us, and we follow that person. That was the biggest mistake I could ever make, because when the person that I looked up to went through some things, and they got weak. Mm-hmm. It weakened my walk because my faith was in that person, not in God.
Mm-hmm.
God should be the only source of our purpose. He should be the only person that we're looking up to as example. And I used to be very judgmental. And when I told you that I had went through some things over the last 36 months, I think God intentionally took me through some things to humble me so I wouldn't be so quick to judge. But there are some things I said, I'll never go through this. I'll never do this. I'll never put up with that. You know, very things I thought I would never have to go through, I found myself on my face before God saying, oh, my God, I never thought I would have went through this. And I would say, and I was filled with God, Holy Spirit, but that doesn't exempt me from going through some things. And you can't really say how you're going to react unless you go through. There's two things I want to clarify. There's a such thing as a hypocrite, LaShawn. A hypocrite is a person who confesses Christ and they intentionally go out and sin. They don't care how they live. That's a hypocrite. You don't want to be around people like that. And then you have people who are weak saints, where their desire is to please God, but there's sometimes they fall short. There's a difference. So when I'm looking and connecting with people, I can deal with a weak saint because we're going to help each other get strong. I would not deal with a hypocrite. And I want to explain what I mean by that. Let's say a woman calls me tonight, a single woman, and I believe, Janice, y'all church teaches the same, so I'll go here, on abstinence. My church teaches abstinence unless you're married. So if she calls me tonight and says she's going to the motel to hook up with Bob, that's premeditated sin. I won't deal with anything like that. If a sister comes to me and say, oh, my God, me and my fiancé, we've been dating. One thing led to another. I'm sorry. God, help me pray. I can deal with that because it was a flesh issue. You fell short, but you don't think what you're doing is right. So you have to distinguish the two. Everybody's not a hypocrite.
Right.
Some people are just weak saints.
That's right.
I agree with that.
I do agree.
But we have to take our eyes on people because we will fail if we focus on people. But it's natural. I've been there and I've done that. And that was the most disappointment. And later when I got strong enough to go to a person and go talk to them and say, you know, I really looked at you. And when she began to share with me what she had been through and what led her to where she was, I felt really bad about judging her. I was like, oh, my God,
you know,
God forgive me.
I don't actually have faith in people because I feel like people will let you down. So I don't, like, it's just hard to do some of the things that Christian people expect you to do. And, like, I get my own understanding of everything. And my understanding, that's what I'm saying. I'll be praying for understanding because my understanding is bad, especially once I'm getting it out of the book and I'm watching somebody do something that's totally different, but they telling me that I'm not a Christian, that I need to do the right thing, and I'm watching them, and they not doing the right thing either, and it kind of bugs me a little bit. So I be trying to see, okay, like, what do I follow? So then if I go to a different denomination and I watch them, and they're doing exactly what they're supposed to be doing, I kind of lead to that following. I'm looking at it. I'm not a follower, so I'm watching what they're doing, too, and I'm taking a little bit from each one of them and planting my own ground to see where I stand and believe in what I believe in. I guess that's what I'm going to continue to do because that's what all y'all answers really led me to still do.
I think we need to pray for clarity, and I think we also need to pray for a steadfast spirit. So we need to pray for clarity, for God gives you a sure, where there's no doubt in your life. I don't care what anybody else say, but when you look in the mirror at yourself, when you look in that mirror, when you can say, I am a changed woman, I'm not the girl I used to be, I know that Christ lives in me, that's what matters. Because I go to a cogent church. My church taught against pants and makeup for years, but I never felt convicted. So people were looking on the outside, but I knew the mess I used to do. I knew I was nowhere near the same person that I was 20 years ago. And so today I can look in the mirror and say, I'm not the girl I used to be. I don't care what anybody else says.
Amen. Amen.
I know that I'm not that filthy person that I was when God delivered me out of my sins and out the street. I know I'm not that person. So I sleep good and I rested in God knowing that I know. And guess what? The people who really know me, they know.
No. Amen.
Right.
That's
Amen.
What I'm talking about. People who really know you, they know the change. They see the change, you know. And like
they
I said, it's that relationship that you have with Christ that you have. Not the religion that everybody's trying, you watching, but the relationship that you're going to develop with God. And it's not just about praying and getting up. You have to wait for him to answer. You have to fast and pray. You have to really seek God for those answers and seek until it gets clear to you because he's answering you. But you got so many things on your mind because you're looking here, you're looking there, and who you really should be looking at is God.
Yeah.
You should be in that word. You should be, Lord, I want to be the Christian woman you want me to be. There's nothing wrong with other Christian women, but I need to know for myself that my salvation is real. I need to know for myself, you know, and that comes with fasting and praying and focusing on God's word. And like Wanda said, I know for myself who I used to be. I thank God every day. She ain't here no more.
Well, praise God. We just thank God for that, that we aren't the girls that we used to be. And, Wanda,
praise
I thank you so much for coining that phrase.
Yeah.
I'm not the girl I used to be, and I've stuck to that. Janice and I have just been just hallelujah in it, and we just thank God that we aren't where we used to be. And we thank God for just deliverance. Thank God for giving us the strength and ability to pray to him and thank him for changing us. And every day we strive to change, to be a better person, and to look to God for all our answers and to seek him for our sisters in Christ and to keep them lifted up. That's what my sister, my friend, is all about. We're here to lift up our sisters. We're here to pray for each other. We're here to give them encouraging words and to let them know that God loves them and that he will keep you, and if you seek his face, he will answer. All you have to do is just develop a relationship with him, and he will talk to you. Like Janice said, we just can't talk to him and then get up. We've got to talk to him and wait for his answer. He might not come when we want it or quick as we want it to, but he's going to answer us, and he hears every cry, every request, every prayer that we send up to him because he loves us just that much. And I want to thank you ladies for being with us tonight. Wanda, I thank you for coming on the show tonight and sharing with us your wisdom and your knowledge in Christ and helping us uplift our sisters and giving them some inspiration tonight. We would love for you to join us again next Monday night if you can, and we can continue this conversation and we can have some more callers and some more questions. And we just enjoyed you tonight, and we invite you back next week if you're available. And I also wanted you to go ahead and give us the announcement if you're going to have the girl talk. Is it this coming Saturday? The last Saturday in June?
We'll have the Women's Real Talk will be Saturday, July 29th. June 29th.
Okay, we missed the whole month.
It is June.
Okay.
And the topic for this session would be, it's going to be being an original in a world of copycats.
Right on.
How to embrace the real you, the you that God created you to be. So we'll be at the Good Life House Family Church in Ferris from 6 to 8 p.m., and I would love to see you guys if you can make it.
Okay. Well, you know,
that's a blessing. That's a blessing, just what you needed to hear tonight. That's a blessing.
Amen. Good. Well, I'm certainly going to speak for me because I'm a beater.
Yes, we'll be there.
And get that other one, too. We bring her, too. And if my son will go with me, I'm going to bring her, too. But thank you again. And if you're available next Monday night, please join us and call us and let's talk again. Would you please pray us out? We have about 60 seconds to go. Is that okay with you?
That's fine.
Go ahead.
Father God, we thank you for the gathering of your women of God today. We ask you to continue to bless us, God. God, we ask you to give clarity, strength, God, and confidence. God, we ask when we rise tomorrow morning, when we look in the mirror, that we would see the women that you created, the new us, God, that all old things are passed away and everything that is new, God. God, let us know that you're pleased with our life and that you're pleased with our walk, God. God, we declare this day that no woman will be left behind, God, that we will go in and pull them out, no matter where they are, God, and bring them to you so that we can all be the beautiful women of God that you created us to be. We ask you to bless our family, bless the founder, the president, and all the sisters on this line, God, and protect us and keep us in your will. And, God, keep us focused on you. If we know that when we're focused, we can make things move. And we know that you are with us, God, because you put your blessing and your agreement with us on this night. And in your son Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, God. Amen.
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 Again, I say thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
See you again. Talk to you next Monday night at 8 o'clock. Thank you, listeners. Good night.
Good night.